So many of my former roommates and a lot of my close friends can tell you that I have a major pet peeve about TV weddings and movie weddings. Now, the fact is that when it comes to the wedding service, Hollywood is lying to you about what that actually looks like. First, I have definitely never officiated, and I'm not sure I've ever even attended a wedding where the question has been asked, does anyone object to the marriage of this couple? Now, I know in TV and in the movies, this is often a very dramatic moment in the movie, but I've never actually seen this happen before. As a matter of fact, in the Methodist Church, we do the opposite, that rather than asking for objections, we say to all of the family and friends who are gathered here, do you, as their friends and family, promise to support this couple in their marriage as they grow in love and faith and to support them? So we actually ask everyone there to make a vow of promise to support them rather than does anybody object? So that's the first thing that bothers me. And then the second thing is that while I'm sure there are wedding services that are written this way, and I actually had someone after the last service tell me they had the pastor change the service to do it this way, at least in the United Methodist Church, you do not say I do as part of the wedding service. I know that's like the iconic phrase that you see in all the TV and movies, but we don't actually ask, do you? In the Methodist Church and in many other services, the question is, will you have this person to be your husband or your wife? Will you love them and comfort them and on and on? And the reason for this is because do implies something only in the present moment, as in, sure, I do take them right now in this moment. But will also implies future action. And so when we ask, will you, it means not only in this moment right now, but in the years to come. And so at least in our church, the answer to the question is not I do, but I will. And so whenever I'm watching a TV wedding or movie and they get to this point, I often loudly correct, like, it's not I do, it's I will. Because it implies that it's forever, that it's ongoing. And I was thinking about this today and about vows because it is Confirmation Sunday. And at the next service, we have 30 students who are going to make vows to God and to the church. And our scripture lesson for today also involves a kind of declaration of faith and almost a vow to some extent. Now, before I read our passage from John, I'm going to set the scene just a little bit. This is after the resurrection. And so at this point in John's gospel, Jesus has appeared to the disciples once. And then Jesus appears to the disciples a second time for Thomas's sake. And this is when Thomas gets to touch the wounds in his hand. And yet, even after they've seen resurrected Jesus twice, the disciples decide that the best thing they can do with their time is to go fishing. And so the disciples go out early one morning and they go fishing. And Jesus comes out and meets them on the beach for the third resurrection appearance. And the disciples come in from the boat and they all have breakfast together on the beach. And then after breakfast, Jesus has a conversation with Peter. And that's where we're going to pick up in John chapter 21. I'll begin reading in verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you like. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This passage is often known as Peter's recommissioning because three times Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And by the third time Jesus asked him this question, Peter is hurt, as I imagine any of us would be if a loved one were to turn to us time and time again in the same conversation and say, do you love me? And so it's because of this hurt that I think it's only later that Peter realizes what Jesus is doing. Because as many of you are familiar, only a few days earlier, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. After Jesus is arrested, before he is crucified, 3 times Peter is asked, aren't you with Jesus? Aren't you with that man they arrested? And 3 times Peter says no. And so now Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to affirm his faith 3 times. And in doing so, Jesus shows Peter and Jesus shows all of us that whatever is in our past, whatever we've done, whatever has happened to us, won't keep us from the plans that God has for us in the future. Jesus is helping Peter to move on, to move past this denial and move into the future God has for Peter and the ways that God is calling him. And with each affirmation, each time Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, Jesus gives Peter a job, a task, a responsibility that comes with that affirmation. Jesus tells Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. This repeated affirmation of faith is then accompanied by responsibility, a vow, a calling for Peter. But it's pretty much the same thing that we're still doing as church in 2019. Every week when we gather for worship, there are various ways that we affirm our faith. In the traditional service, we say creeds every week. In the contemporary service, even like today, we began with a creed and song. When we gather as faith community, we affirm our faith in what we believe. And then every week we are sent out into the world to go and be the hands and feet of Christ. It's part of our rhythm. Vows, and then calling and responsibility. But this is especially obvious on Sundays when we have baptism or on Confirmation Sunday. Because on baptism Sundays and when we confirm people, those candidates make vows for themselves. They declare their faith in God, in Christ. They make promises to the church. But it's not just the candidates who do this. Our whole congregation reaffirms our faith and makes promises as well. I think it's in part because there was a recognition that we need to be reminded of this, that we need to reaffirm our faith to remind ourselves of our belief. We need to continually recommit ourselves to Christ and to God's calling on our lives so we can keep living into that. And so we're going to ask you this question later this morning, and many of you have heard it before. But we ask, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? When we ask this question, anytime we baptize someone, anytime we have a confirmation. And this question is worded, do on purpose. I know I've talked about I do and I will, but for this one, it is do on purpose, because the question is, do you believe in Christ right now? Do you reaffirm in this moment your belief that Christ is Lord? Do you in this moment reaffirm your rejection of sin? Do you in this moment repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness? And we answer yes. And time again, we come back to this answer and we say, yes, I do. And so we make this reaffirmation. But then we ask a second question. And in that comes part of our vow and our responsibility, our calling into future action, because the next question is, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Now, I know often at this service when we ask this question and we say, will you nurture one another and include those before you in your care? Often we only answer, I will. But in our liturgy, it's actually a much longer answer than that. It's not simply an I will. We, the congregation, make promises back. The answer is, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say we could probably stop right there, that living according to the example of Christ really kind of encompasses it all. But we don't. We keep going, because I think as humans, we need to that repetition and reminder. So we continue. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. When we answer this question, we make a lot of vows. We promise that we will pray. We vow that we will serve others, that we will be community and in community. We promise to love. We vow to forgive. And all of these things fall under the larger umbrella of living according to the example of Christ, of being Christ's representative in the world. And when we look at our passage from John's gospel, that's really what Jesus is asking of Peter. For throughout scripture, Jesus is called the good shepherd, and time again, he refers to his sheep and the way the shepherd takes care of the flock. And that's exactly what Jesus tells Peter. He looks at him and he says, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. Jesus is passing on the role of shepherd to Peter and all of the other disciples and Christ followers who are there and to come. Jesus instructs him, you need to live according to my example in the world. Be my representative. Follow me. And so in the United Methodist Church, we make a similar vow on Confirmation Sunday. We make a similar promise every time people join the Advent family. In every baptism, we reaffirm our faith and we make a promise of loyalty and commitment to being Christ's representative in the world. Many of you are probably familiar with this because you've heard us say this time and time again, but we give ourselves steps. We promise to be loyal to Christ through the church by faithfully serving with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Because we believe that all of these things are essential to faith, growth, and life. But as I think about the passage that we've read from John, as I think about this morning and Confirmation Sunday, what stands out for me is this idea of witness. And I'm going to be honest, witness might be the most intimidating one of these promises and also kind of the most exciting. Because witness encompasses all of the ways that we are Christ's representatives in the world. And when we talk with confirmands about this vow they're going to make and what it means to be a witness, one of the things I always tell them is that witness means that in everything we say or do, we have the opportunity to point people towards Christ or to point people away from Christ. That in everything we say, even if people don't know that we're Christians, we have the opportunity to be a positive witness of Christ in the world or a negative one. And I think about how I flip-flop through that just so many times, even throughout the week. So I'm going to give you examples of just this past week in my life, how I was a positive witness and how I was a negative witness. So we'll start with the positive. We'll do the good first. So this past week, I was invited to the Volunteer Appreciation Luncheon at Rudolph Gordon School. And Rudolph Gordon is where we are hoping to be the location of our satellite campus that we are going to be launching, where I'll be the campus pastor. And so I've already been serving at Rudolph Gordon to get to know some of the students and teachers and families at that school. And so I was invited to the Volunteer Appreciation Breakfast. And I don't know if you've ever been to one of these before. This was my first such event. But when you're at these events, a common question that you get is, well, how many children do you have? Or how many children do you have at Rudolph Gordon? And so time and time again, I saw surprised faces when I said, well, I don't have any children. And that immediately raised the question, well, then why are you here? Like, why do you volunteer here? And so I told them, well, I'm one of the pastors at Advent, and we're partnering with schools, and we're looking to start another campus out in this community, and so we want to build relationships. And time again, I saw surprised and maybe even grateful faces at my presence there. And as I reflected on what it means to be witness, I thought about how that was an opportunity to be positive witness. But on the flip side, this week I also went to the dry cleaners. And I have had the same dry cleaners for a while, but it was somebody new at the desk, or at least who I hadn't seen before. I don't know if they were new, but I hadn't seen them. And I dropped off my stuff, and they went to look me up in the computer, and I spelled my name, K-E-R-L-I-M. And after a minute, they look at me, and they say, I'm sorry, can you spell that again? I have C-E-R, and I said, no, it's K-E-R-L-I-M. And so I look for another minute, and there's another pause, and they say, I'm sorry, I don't see you under the C's. And after the third time that I was asked to spell my name, I'm just going to say there was not a lot of Jesus at that point. And as soon as I heard the frustration and anger in my voice as I responded and spelled my name again, immediately after, I thought, dang it. Like, that was not a good witness moment. I don't know this person. They might be new. For all I know, this is their first day and they're still figuring it all out. And I have not responded graciously or with patience and love. And I suspect this might be true of some of you too. I mean, we've heard some stories from our parking team about times where maybe not everyone is as gracious. But the thing is that in each and every moment of our lives, we have an opportunity to be a witness. In our jobs, in our family, among our friends, even at the dry cleaners. Everything we say and do has the opportunity to help point people to Jesus, to reflect God's light and love in the world, or to point away from that. And in some ways, when I think about Confirmation Sunday, Confirmation is really a celebration of positive witness. Because as our 30 students who are going to claim faith for themselves at this next service, they have been influenced by you, by your witness. By the witness of parents and grandparents, the faithfulness of life group leaders and basketball coaches and confirmation mentors. They've been influenced by the witness of Advent as a whole in the ways that the faith family here is reflecting the light and love of Jesus to the world. In the ways that we serve and love others. When I think about that, it reinforces how important these vows are that we make and why we keep making them over and over again. Because Peter wasn't the only person commissioned by Jesus. Jesus commissions all of us to go and be Christ's representatives in the world. It's been true for centuries. It's why we're here, because of Christ's representatives who have been before us. Of parents and grandparents who influenced us. And great-grandparents and beyond who influenced them across the centuries. People, disciples who've served as Christ's representatives in the world, who have influenced people who influenced us, that have enabled us to be here this morning. Just as Jesus looks at Peter, Jesus looks at each one of us time and time again and asks, do you love me? And when we say yes, we hear the same instructions. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Follow my example. Be my representative in the world. In a few more minutes in the service, we're going to give you the opportunity to reaffirm your faith, to make these vows again. And we're going to have the opportunity to watch what our confirmation class has done as we celebrate with them and affirm the way that God is using our witness and the witness of others in the world. But first, let us pray. Almighty God, we are humbled by the fact that you have called us and commissioned us to be your representatives in the world. And God, we admit that at times this terrifies us and at times it excites us. And God, we ask for your forgiveness for all of those times that we have been a poor witness of you. God, for when our words and our actions have caused people to be directed away from you. God, forgive us and work through us and in spite of us. Help us to be faithful witnesses in the world, that in everything we say and do and everywhere we go, that we may reflect your light and love to others. And God, that through our witness, others may come to know you. God, we pray all of this in the name of Christ, the light of the world. Amen.